Operations Subcommittee meeting for October 8th, 2019, 6:30 p.m. Item number two, notification of open meetings act posted and announcement meeting procedure. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to returning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you very much. Quorum call.
Bradley.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
Lipinski.
Here.
Teaser.
Yep.
Chairperson.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any question? Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Lipinski.
Yes.
Teaser.
All right. I have proof of publication of tonight's meeting. Item number six, review and recommendation on the bids for the 2020 district vehicles and equipment. Nicole Gus. Good evening.
So today I have the bids for the 2020 district vehicles and equipment. In conjunction with the approval of the 2020 budget, the district put two vehicles out for bid. Formal bids are advertised two consecutive weeks in the Omaha World Herald on September 12th and September 19th. Specifications for formal bids were mailed to 36 local vehicle dealerships, and bids were opened on Friday, September 27th. First item, a 2020 chassis cab, four-wheel drive, 1.25-ton pickup, and this will be replacing the district's 2002 Ford F-350 with over 116,000 end-of-year miles. The budgeted amount for this item is $40,000 with a flatbed. We received three bids, and the staff recommends that the low and best bid of $25,805.80 from Woodhouse of Omaha for one 2020 Ford F-450 chassis cab be accepted with the trade-in of the district's 2002 Ford F-350. Next item, 2020 chassis cab, four-wheel drive, one-ton pickup. This will be replacing the district's 2012 Ford F-250 with almost 160,000 end-of-year miles. The budgeted amount for this item is $40,000 with a 9-foot service body. We received three bids, and the staff recommends that the low and best bid of $24,515.80 from Woodhouse of Omaha for a 2020 Ford F-350 chassis be accepted with the trade-in of the district's 2012 Ford F-250. Next is a piece of equipment. It's one new CAT 12M3 all-wheel drive motor grader. This will be replacing the district's 1999 John Deere motor grader with 4,000 end-of-year hours. State contract pricing, and the staff recommends that the purchase of one new CAT 12M3 all-wheel drive motor grader from NMC with a state contract total price of $272,875.40 with trade-in of the district's 1999 John Deere motor grader to be paid over 5 years in equal annual payments of $54,575.08. And so the staff is recommending that the low and best bid for each of these items be accepted.
Thank you. Motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the items? Directors? Roll call.
Just moving to a CAT instead of a John Deere, is there a reason for that? Well, Bill, you can say it. We're purchasing a Caterpillar instead of a John Deere. Is there a reason for that?
Well, this is a state contract, and John Deere doesn't have state contracts.
Other questions?
Nope.
All those 350s, 450s, are those gas or diesel?
Yes.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Aye. Thank you very much. Item number seven, review and recommendation on renewal of USGS maintenance agreement for Papio flood warning system gauges amended grant.
I'm going to displace Bill here while I show you the flood warning stages. I just talk about this every year. This is a contract the flood warning gauges we've had since 1993. But starting in 2012, we really upgraded the equipment. We hired USGS to do the annual maintenance of all those and gather all the data, do all the quality assurance. So we've been bringing this agreement every year. Annually, 17 are rain and stage at the creek, five are just rain only. These are used for gathering so important flood warning, but also for gathering historical data, high water, all of the information that goes into flood studies and a lot of the different hydrology studies that get done in the watershed. So I think the numbers are the same this year. The USGS contributes a certain amount that they can through their programs. And then district cost shares their remaining portion. We also have an interlocal with Douglas, Sarpy, City of Omaha, and Washington County. About 30,000 of those costs, too. They realize the benefit of this. So the numbers are in the memo, but it's the same cost sharing last year, which the district contribution is about $120,000. A lot of people probably use this. A lot of people probably just want to. A lot of them probably use it for like the river levels and things, but what I want to do is just kind of show you how easy it is for the public to folks here tonight, but to. What the money goes to actually. So even if you just provided directly there, but it's just so easy for the weather service, and then you can go to river. And now I'm kind of zooming in, and I the Papio watershed is right here. So this is what you're asked to consider and to pay for. Project, we work in conjunction with the Weather Service. So we'll see. Work with 2013-14 to identify what these action minor floods have them all color coded just like the rivers, but this is all within the Papio Creek watershed. All of these sites in the Papio, they'll have the historic crests and the each of those what action flood stage means. I like this one because on Maple Street, and one morning I was driving and they're like, there's water on Maple, so I quick. I was gathering the data. it, but the request is...
Ben, are you finished? You can have a recommendation.
Staff recommendation.
Motion, staff recommendation.
Second.
Got a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Director Bradley?
Just a point of order. There's a high pitch that sort of, I don't know. I mean, I can, through the night, I guess I could soldier on and really concentrate, but if we could see what that high pitch is and try to eliminate it so we can...
It pains to be deaf like me and Thompson.
I don't hear it.
Speakers are muted. I voted for an upgrade.
We'll have to investigate.
Okay, we get through this item.
Thanks, Larry. Any other comments regarding what was presented? Roll call.
Sofinsky?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Aye.
Make the meeting go quick.
Item number eight, review and recommendation on First Amendment to interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha for the Missouri River R-613/R-616 levy project modifications. Paul Wood.
Good evening. Okay, we just reviewed and approved this interlocal agreement back in February of this year, and so we did it right before the flood. The city actually finished doing their approval kind of after the flood. In March and April there. So the original interlocal has all been approved. All really that interlocal did was it set up basically a basis for us to have right away on the treatment plant property down there along the Papio and the Missouri River. It also set aside money that the city would reimburse us. We're taking on a majority of the cost to relocate utilities, which are kind of stuck between the levee that we're going to improve and the driveway that leads into the treatment plant. So the idea is we'll take all those utilities that are in that conflict area and move them completely to the other side of the road, so north of where they're at now. Maybe go to that first map. So this was our original plan was where the levee is being improved right here, we have to take all the utilities on this side of the road, and we're going to move them into a corridor over here. Since that time, go on to the next map. The city has identified that due to the flood and due to the other things, they would like to see that extension not only go to this location, but continue on all the way over here. So. Some of the costs stay the same, the cost for doing the gas line, but the things that increase are the water line cost, the OPPD doing their relocation, and that sort of thing. So basically it doubles the cost that that the city would be reimbursing us for from $100,000 to $200,000. And those costs are added, of course, to our contractor's costs. Our contractor will be the one digging the trench and building the water line, and then the other companies come in and do their own work. So OPPD will do their own relocation, and the Northern Natural Gas will do their own relocation as well. So that's part of it. I may go back up to the memo. The only other issue I don't have in here that, or I have in the description, but not on really a map, is we're also adding $20,000 for some erosion, some damage that was caused along the Papillion Creek just downstream of Highway 75 on the north side, on the left bank. That was done when the city had to pump waste out of the sanitary sewer over into the creek while the treatment plant was inoperable. And so it's a pretty minor erosion, but something we need to firm up and take care of. That's actually an area where we're grading the berm to get material for the levy, so it's kind of a natural thing. We'll clean up anyway, and the city's agreeing to reimburse us those costs, those additional costs again. So that's pretty much all the First Amendment does, is to increase those two reimbursements we will get from the city.
Yep. We could have a motion.
Move the staff's recommendation.
Motion for staff recommendation. Can we have a second?
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
No, no additional expense.
It's all reimbursed from the city then.
Right. We're still paying for what we're responsible for, and they're paying.
Yep. Our portion will increase in the end.
Rickles?
Is there any kind of an easement problem by moving this to the other side? Do we already have control of what goes on there?
What we're doing, we're using the city's right of way to do this relocation into. If the city wants if any of the utility companies want adjusted easements, they would have to get them from the city themselves.
That doesn't fall back to us in any way, shape, or form.
No, we're kind of just letting the city handle that.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Zinsky?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Hi. Thank you very much, Paul.
Yep.
Item number 9. Oh, you're here again. Review and recommendation on amendment to Lower Platte River Consortium Agreement. Follow it.
All right. Thank you. A little background here. It has been an agreement that we've had in place for 3 years to form this consortium. And DNR called us late a couple Fridays ago and said, we just realized the agreement's expiring. So can we go ahead and do a quick amendment? So the amendment you're looking at tonight is just to extend the duration of the agreement for 1 year. So it'd be next September 27th. We'd have to keep in our calendars and keep in mind if we do need to extend it any further. But the work that still has to be done is that, if you remember, there's a draft Lower Platte River drought contingency plan that was drafted and all set up. We went through a couple meetings and looked at it, but then it was submitted to the Bureau of Reclamation for their review and approval. We have just gotten that back, but just, again, within the last couple weeks. So basically tonight we would just look at approving the amendment, and then subsequently the actual contents and the work that's done in the drought mitigation plan would come back to our board for some final acceptance anyway.
Okay. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the act?
Have the Lower Platte North agreed to this, please?
I don't believe they've had it in front of them yet, but everybody...
They meet next week.
It's no additional cost to anybody right now.
Yeah. Anyone from the public wish to speak? Directors? Roll call.
A motion.
I'm sorry.
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Roll call. Thanks.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Zinsky?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Hi. Item 10, review and recommendation on Buffalo Stream Bank Stabilization Interlocal Agreement with Sarpy County. Eric Williams.
Good evening, everyone. The Buffalo Creek Stabilization Project is a cost share project that we approved in April. Was included in the FY 2020 budget. Bill, if you can go to the next page, there's a map that shows kind of the general area. You can see 192nd and Buffalo Road. This map does a good job of showing that the stream is right along the side of the road. And so Sarpy County has requested cost share to help with stabilization of the stream and protect the Buffalo Road, the public road in the area. This project is a relatively large cost share project. And so at the time we approved it, we indicated that it would be a multi-year project. And so what we're doing now that the 2020 budget has been finalized and approved is asking for approval of an interlocal agreement with Sarpy County specifying the terms of the cost share reimbursement, and that means $303,000 over each of the next three fiscal years, 2020 that we're currently in, as well as 21 and 22 of the next years. Sarpy County has done some preliminary work on the concept of the stabilization. We expect them to contract for the full design of the stabilization in this area and then move to construction. In order for them to undertake a project of this scope, we wanted to provide some financial stability in the cost share reimbursement. And so this is common anytime there's a cost share project that is more than one fiscal year from the NRD. So this is to cover 3 years, and we will keep you updated on progress if anything changes in the project. But essentially this allows them to move forward with contracting for the design and then the construction, knowing that we will reimburse in the next two fiscal years as well. So we ask that you recommend that we approve the interlocal agreement with Sarpy County for this project.
A motion.
I move with staff recommendation for staff recommendation.
A motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to it? Directors?
I had a question. How long is that distance that they're going to be working on in the creek?
I think the application, Bill, if you skip down a couple more pages, there's a plan sheet that shows. I think there's a scaling. Let's see. It's a couple, one or two more pages. There you go. So this is the area that they're going to be working in. I think it's maybe 1,000 feet or so. I'm not totally sure. This is again based on the conceptual. They have the next page shows kind of the general cross section of the area. The choice of stabilization they want to use in this area is a soil nail, meaning it's a long rod shot into the side there. The proximity of the channel to the road is a controlling factor in the design here. So they're going to work through. They've done some preliminary work on this, but they're going to work through a more specific final design, which may include some grade stabilization in the channel, as well as some of this bank stabilization that they've outlined here. So the total length, I will be determined as they do the design. I think it's several hundred feet, basically, is the distance.
Incredibly expensive.
It is, and the from the first map, the location of the channel next to the road limits the options. And so, again, the soil nail stabilization style is quite challenging. But I mean, quite frankly, the road is the distance between the road and the creek makes this a very challenging location to stabilize.
Has it gradually been eroding away over the years, or?
Yep, it has, and I think that they have realized that in order to prevent further erosion, both vertically or degradation vertically and potentially erosion left and right, they don't want the channel to get any closer to the road because I think eventually they'll upgrade the road. At some time in the future, they might consider a roadway realignment. That would be a decision they would need to do. And I mean, the cost of moving the road now relative to bank stabilization, you know, this is cheaper than the other option.
Really expensive.
Yeah, and that's in quite frankly, the time necessary for the design and the construction is may not be the full 3 years, kind of depends. Sometimes we do cost shares to help reduce the cost for the NRD in any fiscal year. We say we would pay over 3 years rather than all at once. And so they may complete the project in something like 2 years and then have one more reimbursement after the project is completed. Again, that helps us to balance our expenditure in this program with other expenditures in cost share or across the rest of the budget.
How busy is this road? Is it a busy road?
Anybody from the area want to? I am not that familiar with this. Yeah, I mean,
farm fields.
The road infrastructure in that area is basically every mile, and so you know each of them are necessary. There's the alternate routes are very very far to get around them.
It is a paved road, right?
Marlon, you want to shout that one?
It is a paved road.
Greg Dusinski.
Forgive the question, Aaron, but could we just drive some sheet piling?
So
call it good.
So I think that they might be as they go through the design process, they might come up with a different answer. At which point, we would provide an update. We have reimbursed at lower amounts based on a change in the overall project. If something more cost effective comes through, we've done that on a couple other urban drainageway projects in the past, on urban conservation assistance projects. And so if it were more expensive, there would be an additional action to request anything different. If it's less expensive, we don't generally have additional board action to change down the reimbursement, but we might do an informational item to say, by the way, here is, as we look into one of the second or third budget year, we might reduce that expected cost. So they could come up with a different answer. Sheet pile is quite expensive also, particularly in a long linear installation like this. I'm not sure sheet pile would be any cheaper. I think that's probably how they ended with the soil nail concept. I mean, sheet would need to go the vertical distance of the channel plus maybe 30 more feet, and the cost there per square foot of face area is quite high. Yeah, sheet is usually the most expensive option. Almost anything else is going to be cheaper if you're trying to do stabilization. So, yeah.
Bert and Brady?
I pass.
This $303,000 they're talking about every year, you say the county's going to do a study on this or something?
So they've done some conceptual work. HDR, it looks like, did the conceptual design on this. So sometimes when we get these types of cost share, it comes after maybe a 10% conceptual plan, and then they contract the design of the rest of the full construction plans and then move to the construction bid. So there has been some conceptual work. It is possible that they might change to a different stabilization installation here. I think that this conceptual was done a year or two ago, and quite frankly, the remaining portion of the project was not something that Sarpy County was prepared to pay for, so it took them a little while to prepare for their,
expenditure. What would the $303,000 be used for if they don't have a plan yet?
So they would contract for the full engineering design. The estimate was based on that conceptual that is reflected in the plans. So, I guess that's it would cover both the design and the construction. So
I guess my question is, if nothing has been done a year from now, are we still obligated to give them $303,000?
No. If they don't show any progress of any kind whatsoever, if they don't contract design and don't move forward at the end of the year, we would not reimburse.
Okay. So this just isn't handing them a check.
That's right. Yeah, they need to show that they are working on the project in order to justify the reimbursement. We would not just give them money if they haven't done any work. And usually in agreements like this, we wouldn't reimburse more than the similar portion, 40% of the work that had been completed to date. That just happened on Thomas Creek, which is a multi-year urban drainageway cost share. And so they only did $100,000 worth of work, so we reimbursed $40,000 the first year.
Any of our cost share programs, we expect some type of documentation that the work has been completed. Get invoices, and they have to submit a pay request. So it's verified. We just don't hand them money and say, build a float or whatever you want to do with it.
Right.
Director Johnson.
Is this private land?
I do not know. I assume that part of it is on the right-of-way where the road is located, and they'll be working from the right-of-way down, but I assume the farmland adjacent is private land. They will probably need a temporary construction access easement of some kind.
And does this creek affect the watershed for future flood control purposes?
I mean, we are in the process of doing the Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership site investigation work, and that is not yet completed. So, I mean, with the proximity of the creek to the road, no, I don't think there would be any type of work done in this specific location. I don't expect that anything done here would have any impacts up or down, other than if they do decide to put in some grade stabilization, that might help avoid additional degradation upstream to the west toward 192nd Street. So it could have some benefit. We might have identified this as a grade stabilization potential location outside of this project through that work. But it's very unlikely that anything would have been done here that this would have a negative impact in the future.
One other final question. HDR on the creek by the Breast Furniture Mart proposed a certain innovative way for bank stabilization, which didn't work out, and we changed it, or it got changed. This, the soil nails and all that, that's a proven technique?
I guess maybe Marlon or Martin, do you have a response about soil nail use?
We haven't done this.
So is it part of this expense? Let's see how this works in our environment. And obviously is that leading to more expense?
The fact that, I mean, quite frankly, the fact that this has been unstabilized for a while and it has gotten a little closer to the road and dropped a little bit lower has led to a limited number of options. I think if Sarpy County could go back and have done stabilization here 20 years ago, they might have preferred that, but this is where we are now. And so I think the options are limited based on how close the creek is to the road. And again, moving the road, the other option would be dramatically more expensive. So the number of things that you can do when you are this close, Mission Creek, just over here north of the office, had sheet pile, maybe 20 or 30 feet, because of how close the creek got to the backyard of the neighborhood. And so in some cases, if you don't have the option to put rock at the toe and grade back a 3-to-1, the other options become more expensive, and that's what they have. That's what their choices are now.
Last question, Eric or Marley. Could we just excavate that side a little bit and dump rock in there? A lot of rock?
Someone might suggest that. You could try and realign the entire channel. That, maybe. I don't believe there's sanitary line or anything out there that would prohibit that. You would then be balancing the stabilization costs against land acquisition to realign the channel. And the permitting for realigning a channel would be pretty challenging. Anything more than 300 feet, you start getting to maybe even an individual permit.
I don't even mean that. Just clear out a section and dump riprap.
Based on the slope toward the roadside, I don't think you could get a stable. I mean, it's not very stable
not
right
not
now.
Not enough room, you're saying.
Yeah. So I don't think you could do that on the side toward the road. The other side, you could maybe try and push it away from the road entirely. I think the excavation cost there was, I mean, I don't know if they evaluated that in their original analysis. I would guess they did, but that's interesting.
You have 7 foot on the roadside, didn't you, on the slope, I believe?
Yeah, and this also does even include a guardrail at the top because of how close the channel is to the edge of the roadway. I mean,
that's a lot of room, guys.
It is very, very close, which is why they're left with the soil nail option, because there's not a lot of other things that can be done in that narrow of an area.
Amount of traffic here is what?
Country
road,
don't know.
Even if it's a paved road.
Yeah. So,
I mean, seriously, $1 million for how many cars passing over this?
Yeah, this is similar to the 240th Street question that we've had in the past, where there aren't other alternatives for the connectivity, and so rural rescue services need to have access. And in a lot of cases like this, the next road is a mile or more away, and so. It kind of has to be maintained because otherwise there is no connectivity through the area. And so the number of daily drivers isn't really a metric that works very well in rural areas. The road, some access needs to be maintained. And this is one of those situations where some access in this area needs to be maintained.
There's plenty of access.
One fourth of the cost of the project is riprap, isn't it, basically?
I guess I'm not sure. I'd have to go back.
That estimate doesn't even have soil maintenance, does it?
What's that?
See where soil maintenance is reflected in that estimate.
I assume.
Yeah, here it is.
And the conceptual plan doesn't have additional detail on placement of rock.
Yeah, not soil maintenance.
No, I'm talking about
riprap.
Yes, I assume that they are also going to rock the opposing bank to avoid additional erosion. And
sure. Any other questions? Roll call.
Jack?
No.
Sabinski?
No.
Yes.
Hi. Thank you. Here. I guess you back up. 11, review and recommendation on North Omaha Trail in a local agreement with City of Omaha.
This is another project that we discussed in April. It was included in the current budget. Bill, if you can skip down to the map, I think that would be helpful. It's probably about page 7. One more, maybe. There you go. So the North Omaha Trail is in northeast Omaha, parallel to Highway 75. From this map, you can see it's down there, roughly north of Lake Street, parallel to 75, crossing Highway 75, and north and west to the 31st and Sprague, which is the transit center. Yeah, maybe the next map actually is helpful. There you go. So this is the section that is the trail portion of the overall project. This was studied with some funding from the National Park Service to provide comprehensive recreation connectivity roughly east of 75 and from North Omaha down toward the riverfront. We agreed in April to participate in cost share for the off-road trail portion of this project. There are other portions that are not included in what the NRD would cost share on that may be other types of recreation facilities. Those are still being studied. The portion we're talking about here runs from 26th and Lake, essentially, north over and west towards about 31st and Sprague Street, or Taylor Street. And so this is similarly an interlocal that covers a multi-year project, specifying the terms of the reimbursement based on the progress that has been made. I've been attending planning meetings and providing technical assistance as the City of Omaha has contracted for something like 10% conceptual plans in this area. This first map, again, came from the National Park Service study, which is basically just saying where might a corridor be. Omaha then found private funding to help contract for the 10% conceptual plans. Those are now completed, and they are looking to move to the full design portion. That would be expected to be completed in the next maybe 6 months and likely construction in 2020, but probably not done before the end of our fiscal 2020, which is what led to a multi-year interlocal agreement to allow them to do the design, move to construction, and then if the project lasts longer than June 30th of 2020, it would be the second half of the reimbursement would be in our next fiscal year. So this project is moving forward, and they are looking to move to the full design, contracting the full design work, and then move to construction in the spring. So the recommendation is to approve the interlocal with the City of Omaha for the North Omaha Trail, the off-road trail portion of this kind of comprehensive view that you see here.
Motion.
So moved.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no problem with this project. I was just wondering if there's any feedback from anybody from Park and Rec of the City of Omaha that was going to be here to ask questions about some of these trail projects.
Yep, so we did email Dennis Breyers, who does most of the trail projects, and Brooke Bench. Neither were available since I emailed them yesterday for this evening. They did provide some updates on other trail projects that they are currently working on, and there are a series of projects that we are working together on. I can provide some of those updates if you'd like, but
please.
So other projects that the Parks Department is currently working on, I'm sorry, let me take one step back. This project is being led by the Planning Department, which is not traditionally how trails are constructed at the City of Omaha. Generally, the Parks Department does that. There were some alternate funding sources available, which led to the Planning Department leading the design, and then Public Works would oversee the construction on this project. And so that's a little bit different implementation, but there were other funding sources that planning usually uses, CDBG funding, that had led to some portions of this project. The Parks Department responded in some of the other projects they're working on, including the Turner Boulevard Trail, which we've talked about in the past. They are doing some site clearing now and expecting the construction to begin in the very soon, with removing trees in the next 10 days or so. So I'm sure you'll hear when the trees get removed. Riverfront Trail Phase 4 is along Abbott Drive, kind of from the Gallup campus up toward the airport and wrapping back around Carter Lake on the north side. And that project has been federal aid funded and in the works for a number of years. They are continuing to work on that project. They expect bidding in 2020 to move that one to construction. They are coordinating with the NRD on Old Lincoln Highway Trail between 180th and 192nd. Along the West Patio. It's identified in the trails master plan map. That's being constructed by the SID, but both the City Parks Department and the NRD are providing technical assistance in the design in getting that one completed and to make sure that it meets the standards, because it would be one of the main branch trails. And then the Cunningham Trail Extension, the Parks Department had contracted for a conceptual study from Democracy Park generally along the Little Papio Creek under Interstate 680 and into Cunningham, Lake Cunningham Recreation Area. That conceptual study broke down kind of three phases of construction, and the Parks Department is looking to move forward with the contracting for the full design on, I think they call it phase one, which generally means the north third of the span from Democracy Park all the way up to Cunningham. And so they are looking to move that design portion forward and then to include the construction in their next fiscal year for that project. So those are four projects that the Parks Department is currently working on. The NRD participates in some capacity with technical advice, but that's where their current trail work is happening. They have been involved in the planning process in both the trail portion and the extended recreation portion of the North Omaha Trail. So they've been participating there. They are aware, and they would likely do the ongoing operations and maintenance of the North Omaha Trail once it's completed. So they are doing other projects, which is how the this project has fallen to planning, essentially.
Okay. And do you know, on the Lake Cunningham Trail, plans for that at all? Has that been for the public to see, weigh in on at all? Do you know?
Yep. So the conceptual is basically just follow the creek to go from Democracy up to Cunningham. It branches over to, I cannot remember the name of the road by the school right now, so it's a little bit off the creek. I do have a copy of that conceptual plan that I can provide to you if you'd like. It was, I think that map was part of the CIP discussion a few weeks ago at the City of Omaha, and there was quite a bit of discussion about moving that trail forward. And I think that Brooke and Dennis have indicated they hear very clearly that they should be, that there is a desire to move that project forward and get it to construction. The work that they can accomplish this year is contracting for the design on that northern phase, which would go into Cunningham. And then the other two phases would happen in the future with some participation from the landowners there. One of them, I believe, is under consideration for development, and the idea is that the developer would build that section. So they are moving forward on that one. And that's where a lot of their trail planning dollars and staff time is going right now.
You know, I just want to say, Eric, I appreciate what you do and how you do it, but just some of from what's coming at us from the City of Omaha, Parks and Rec. But what I was trying to, the question I was for the trail all the way around Lake Cunningham.
Oh.
Have you seen the plans for that, and is it a full trail, 360, all the way around Lake Cunningham?
I think John might have more info than I do on
that. Yeah, ADA, so forth.
Yeah, and that's all, I think that's all the private money that's paying for that trail. So, I believe it completely goes around the entire lake, and it's built to just trail specifications. So, it's going to be, that's what they want to do with this connector, is connect that complete trail around Cunningham then down to
Democracy
Park. And then, obviously, you could go from Cunningham Lake all the way down to Bellevue with that one.
I was at that, forgive my voice, I get head cold. I was at that city council meeting too, and so I thought they had said something about 2021 as far as portion of the trails.
Yep, I think that's the time for construction on several projects that they're currently working on.
One email came back, said a few years, and I thought, oh, no, that's not the way they voted as well.
Director Thompson.
I know you said they're going to construct it in 2020, which is around the corner.
Yeah.
Sitting here thinking, you know, the three-block stretch of the Turner Boulevard and Field Club Connector, the contract was awarded over 2 years ago. So this is a rhetorical question, probably directed to the mayor, because you said that this is planning. Planning is different than parks, and they're different than public works, and all three of them work on trails. So as a board member of the NRD, why should we give the city any more money when they cannot complete the projects we've already given them? We budgeted $80,000-$90,000 for the three-block stretch, and I know you have not been given a precise answer. That when the three-block stretch is going to be done, they had to wait for trees to be evaluated. Which is a dang shame. Now, if Dave Fanslaw has some magic, maybe he ought to take over the Turner Boulevard Extension Trail and get that sucker finally done. Because I'm telling you, and the public is losing out on this, and that's what they don't understand when these parts get delayed. I'm all for this, by the way. I think when we expand, and you'll hear me say again, you know, it's great to build these segments, but we need to connect it all. I think that's where Director Bradley's going, and we'll get there someday.
So
one piece at a time. But generally speaking, they want more money from us. Show me. Show me what you can do for our dollars, because I'm not seeing it, and I've been harping on that. Obviously, my district, obviously, major connection of two major trails, and it just can't seem to be getting done, and that's sad, sad commentary. Maybe Gene Stothert should be here instead of Brooke Bench.
At least Brooke Bench.
I believe that there was some delay in consideration of...
Eric, I understand, and I don't need you to speak for Dennis Breyers, because you can't, even though you're closer to it than I am.
Any other... One more question. So if we didn't vote for this, this project wouldn't go forward then, or what... I'm really confused now based on what Director Thompson just said.
Yep. So this project has used some CDBG, Community Development Block Grant funding, which the Planning Department has to allocate for improvement in different neighborhoods around Omaha. There's cost share from the NRD covered in this agreement, and then there are, similar to Cunningham, additional funding sources from the community who have participated in this project. I think that introduces some different timeline and different logistics for the Planning Department to deliver this from what the Parks Department has on some of the projects they're internally constructing. And so I guess that discussion should be with Planning directly. But
I agree with what Director Thompson said. I love this project. It's just, is it a money pit or is it ever going to get done?
I believe the people who have agreed to help participate in this project are very focused, and I am very confident that they will see the project completed on time.
All right, sometime.
I don't believe sometime. I believe very soon. I have great confidence that they will see it through.
Can you give us that assurance?
I am very confident in their desire to see this completed.
And again, we won't spend any funds until it's completed or until it's progressing. So we're just not going to give them the money and then it's never going to get built. Another thing, too, to remember, all of these agreements here and in the foreseeable future and in the past, we're a part of that. We're a component of that funding. If we don't approve it, then that project most likely goes away until they can make up for our funding. So any of these things that you don't approve that we're a part of, and vice versa, those will cease to exist as a project, and they'll either start from scratch or they'll have to find other funds to fill that void where we just left. Okay. And so that's any interlocal agreement we enter into, and that's the same that when these go to the city or the county or wherever, if they backed out, then our project stops and we have to fill that void. So you know, you got to keep that in mind. If you don't approve these, they don't go forward.
Director Weiss. So this group, you said that you're very confident it's going to get this done. Please don't tell me it's the same group we've been talking about all this whole time. Is somebody else is going
to there's private funding included in this project, which helps to overcome some of the timeline hurdles that happen in other public projects.
Okay. Any other questions? Roll call.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Hi. Item number 12, review and recommendation on Beltline Trail interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha and Omaha Municipal Land Bank.
So we work to provide comprehensive recreation and natural resources opportunities, and over the last quite frankly, a few decades, a concept for reutilizing a former railroad corridor in northeast Omaha has been studied and included in plans and suggested by various organizations, including the Planning Department, the North Omaha Revitalization Plan, a nonprofit organization called Emerging Terrain, and the Land Bank and the NRD and the Parks, Public Works, and Planning Departments. And so this project is... to reutilize a portion of abandoned railroad in northeast Omaha to construct a trail similar to and actually on the same rail corridor as the Field Club Trail in south central Omaha. The term Beltline is a specific type of railroad that was around for quite a while, generally looping metropolitan areas. And then most of those railroads, as the cities developed, the railroads were abandoned because people didn't want big trains and industrial activities happening in neighborhoods and small kind of commercial districts. And so this concept of using a former Beltline railroad corridor for a trail and then adjacent reinvestment in the community has been done in other areas, most notably in Atlanta. Atlanta has a 20-mile Beltline project they've been working on for quite a while, and it's been extremely successful. The same type of concept has been proposed here. And so, Bill, if you pull up the map, the next page, I believe. Sorry, one more. This map is from the organization Emerging Terrain, who did a walking tour along the Beltline corridor in about 2012. The red line is where the old railroad line was physically located. The dotted line was a recommendation of how people could walk and see this corridor. Most of the adjacent parcels in the area, they're kind of shaded on the map in a little bit of a pink color, were industrial parcels and were not utilized in any specific way. So this, in 2012, was kind of the most robust investigation into what could this corridor become. In about 2016, I began talking to the land bank about some work they were doing in the area. They were interested in investing in properties that had low value and might have some title concerns or some abandoned buildings or some other characteristics that made them kind of uninvestable by other private developers or for other public use. The purpose of the land bank is to find those properties and reinvest in them, clear the title, maybe clear the physical structures that might be on them, and make it an asset available for reinvestment in the community. So this corridor was kind of one of the focal areas that led to the legislature approving the concept of the Omaha Municipal Land Bank. This was kind of one of the potential projects that could never really move forward because there was no mechanism by which vacant properties could be acquired, held together, and then as a package reutilized for kind of a neighborhood project. So this map is from 2012 when when Emerging Terrain looked at it. Bill, if you go to the next page. This map is from the City of Omaha transportation element of the master plan, and the blue line, blue and dotted line, kind of sloping to the northeast, is on the Beltline corridor. So in 2011, when the transportation element of the master plan was identified, this specific project called MP020 was identified as a potential corridor for recreation, natural resources, and active transportation, tying into a network of other potential projects in the area. And there are several other plans that have been around, again, over the last 20 years, including the Adams Park Master Plan, the North Omaha Revitalization Plan, that all have recognized this corridor can be an asset in the community, but there has never really been a mechanism by which that could actually happen. The land bank, again, is a mechanism that allowed that to happen. So in 2017 and 2018, I met with the land bank and some other community partners who were interested in carrying forward some of these plans that had been around for a number of years. The land bank began to acquire property in this area and currently owns a number of parcels on the Beltline that were formerly industrial and then kind of vacant industrial properties but couldn't really be put to any use because of the ownership rights or the debris that was scattered across the properties. As of about 6 months ago, the properties that could be acquired by the land bank were, and so since then we've been talking about how the trail could be constructed in this area. So the interlocal agreement tonight specifies the responsibilities of three partner agencies to carry out the Beltline trail concept that has been around for a while. One, the land bank would hold the properties which they have currently acquired, and then they would eventually transfer those to the City of Omaha Parks Department. Two, the NRD would carry out the design and the construction of the trail in this area. And then three, the Parks Department would receive that property and then operate and maintain the trail as part of the comprehensive trail network in the City of Omaha. Bill, if you skip forward a little bit, there's a couple additional maps through here. This is the details of the agreement itself. This shows properties which are currently owned by the land bank, and in this agreement it specifies that the land bank, these were acquired essentially with the purpose of constructing this trail project. The trail would be on these parcels. The specific location would be developed through a full engineering design. We have done some conceptual work through here, to verify that this corridor can become a trail. But again, that's something like a 10% plan. So the specific corridor or location of the trail would be finalized through a bid and a design process. Usually on a trail like this, similar to, again, the Field Club Trail, a 10-foot concrete surface with a couple feet of shoulder on each side. So usually about a 30-foot corridor is what's expected for a trail project like this on an old railroad line. The same is true on the South Omaha Trail. There will be excess property outside of the 30-foot corridor, and the land bank and the Parks Department could then decide what is the best use for those properties next to the trail, and that would happen after the trail project has been designed and constructed. In particular, some of the large parcels, there are three between Hamilton and Decatur Street. There's a lot of land in there, and some other uses could be brought alongside the trail. That, again, is specifically what the Atlanta Beltline has done, is to use the trail as the centerpiece of a comprehensive neighborhood concept, and then additional reinvestment has happened alongside the trail now that it is providing some value as the center of the corridor. So we expect that land would be available for other opportunities in the future. Those would be specified by others at a later time. But the main idea is that the trail is constructed first and additional reinvestment happens later. So this is a map of the south portion from Hamilton to Decatur and Parker and then all the way up to Grant Street. The land bank owns all of those parcels right now. The area around 40th and Lake is on the Beltline corridor, but has kind of much more significance, something like industrial buildings on top of the Beltline corridor, and is not ready for a trail at this time. Additional opportunities there in the future could make a trail connection in the area of 40th and Lake a possibility, but that is outside of the scope of what the NRD would be able to do or what was felt appropriate for the land bank at this time. If you skip to the next page, Bill. This is the other section of the rail corridor. It's very easy to identify because of the shape of the properties here. Starting at Maple Street, you can see King Elementary School on the left, the lower left, Adams Park, which the City of Omaha has made significant investments in over the last several years. North of that, you can see the Malcolm X Memorial Foundation, which has kind of a large open kind of natural area along the Beltline corridor there. So the blue parcels here would be the location of the trail, and we would work with the Malcolm X Foundation to talk to them about the property that they currently own, which could become a trail corridor. So there are roughly two halves of this. They are on the extended Beltline, roughly between 41st and Hamilton, and 31st and Sprague. And if you look at that, back at that, I'm sorry, Bill, if you can go back to the other map, the blue dotted line one. I mentioned that we are working on comprehensive trail connectivity in the area, just like the Keystone Trail would go to Cunningham. The trail here starts at the southwest, goes to the northeast. That kind of globe dot there is at the transit center, and as you go there to the southeast, the North Omaha Trail would connect at this same location. So the project that the City of Omaha has been working on matches directly to this project that the NRD would lead, and the existing trail labeled as MP006 along Paxton Boulevard, which connects over to Fontenelle Park, which was formerly a golf course and saw a lot of reinvestment by the City of Omaha as part of their CSO program. So the major natural resource features in this area are existing Fontenelle Park and Adams Park, and between the Beltline Trail and the North Omaha Trail, there would be a significant increase in the recreation and access to natural resources through this entire region, which has been to date very, very unavailable. We don't have the opportunity to build a dam and a lake and a big recreation area in North Omaha because it's already developed. So the opportunities for recreation here are limited, and this has been a project we've focused on because there just aren't that many other places to construct these types of projects. So the interlocal here specifies the terms for the land bank who has already purchased the land, the NRD to do the design and construction, and the City of Omaha to take over, own, operate, and maintain the project at the conclusion of the construction. And we would ask that the committee recommend that to the board so that we could move forward with the project.
We're open for a motion.
So moved.
Second. Any further discussion? Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Director Thompson?
This is a tremendous project. Thank you, Eric. You're a good salesman. The involved with us to be involved in this, and there's no less than 8 letters of support for this project. And there's private money, there's foundation money, there's lots of opportunity here for this corridor that I'm proud to be a part of. I hope we get unanimous support on this because there's so many benefits. Yes, there's other properties that Land Bank owns, but this also justifies the existence of Land Bank, which is a good thing in the city of Omaha in particular, of course, what the Land Bank is charged to do. So if we can contribute to that, we can't contribute to the development that they want in different parts of the town, but this Beltline is, I'm hopeful to be a vital part of this, and I appreciate your steering us, Eric, and when it's all done, if I can still ride a bike at that point or walk, I mean, it'd be a great way to get from point A to point B. I'm very happy to see Field Club Trail dotted the line through the Med Center at the bottom of that map. Bob Barti promised me that would happen someday, but the more they build there, I got to keep reminding him, don't forget you promised me. So this is proof here that it still exists. So that's a good start. So.
I've got a question. Are you involved with the Forever North study that's going on now in that area?
Yes, that is pretty closely connected to the North Omaha Trail project because the trail portion is right along Highway 75, but it extends south and east through 24th and Lake and specifically down to the riverfront. And so a lot of the Forever North work that Emmanuel Charles is leading at the Planning Department, he is coordinating with the community engagement on that. And yes, I have talked to him about the North Omaha Trail and how it fits into the Forever North engagement.
Because there, your comments about you're hoping to possibly spur some development as a result of the trail probably should be quoted somewhere in the study that's going to be completed the middle of November is what they told me when I met the gentleman from MAPA, who's the I think he's community service manager or something like that. Jeff Speaks?
Yep.
Okay, so there is some collaboration going on.
Yes, and if you look at the letters of support here, there is a letter from Greg Ewell, who is the executive director of MAPA, who was involved in some of the conceptual study on the Beltline and knows about the connectivity between that, the North Omaha Trail, and the 24th Street corridor that Manning's working on.
Director Redden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two areas, really. The first one was it's going through some industrial area, and has it been studies already for toxicity, different types of environmental concerns, EPA and NEPA and so forth. Question.
Yep, some of the due diligence that was done prior to the Land Bank acquiring the properties on the concept of the trail did investigate what are the environmental concerns in the area. It's like other rail corridors. There might be, essentially, no, there are not significant environmental concerns that would prevent a trail from being constructed in this area.
My second area is more of a, I guess, a comment. I remember these old railways as I was younger growing up in the streets of Omaha that there were many times that runaways, hobos, homeless, on the lam. If you wanted to escape law enforcement, you ducked down into those railways and you get, so it was like an underground to get from point A to point B. That's just the history of Omaha, but to bring it to this and have it well lit and so forth, I mean, I'm well needed.
And there have been other rail corridors where we have constructed trails, and this one of the specific benefits is that it's no longer an area where you feel that you are away from others and that you can go and do things that, that for example, high school students might want to do away from people. That by introducing the idea that this is a public space, you should expect other people to be there. This is not an area where you can go and do things that maybe you shouldn't be doing. And so that is one of the kind of key benefits of some of these rails-to-trail corridor reinvestments.
Any other questions?
A quick one, Eric. You said, so if I'm understanding the map you had up there, going from the west side, like 42nd, Franklin, Decatur, and it goes over, that industrial spot, is that what you're talking on 40th and Lake, like the southwest corner there? So will the trail not go through there at this point? Help me understand that just so I can.
Bill, if you can pull up the first map again.
So, yeah, if you scroll down just a little bit. So, yeah, you can see Erskine Park is just southeast, as the map shows, of 40th and Lake. So the trail, the part that we would begin to construct would be from Hamilton, kind of at the bottom there, up to Grant Street. From Grant to Lake, there are some kind of industrial or auto repair types of buildings in the area. 40th and Lake is an area where reinvestment would be beneficial, I think is the way to say it.
The hope is that reinvestment will happen there. Is that occupied right now?
Some of them are. One of them just burned down about 6 months ago. I mean, it's an area where, I mean, former industrial properties in the middle of a residential neighborhood are kind of a weird thing. And so, you know, again, auto repair is kind of a common thing that happens there.
Yeah.
But from Grant Street to Lake Street and up to Maple is an area where there are some industrial properties that are currently occupied, and then some houses have been constructed directly on top of the railroad corridor a little bit further north by Maple Street, so it's not possible to build in that exact location. Some of the concepts we investigated would be to follow Lake Street to the east to 38th, kind of wrap around up to 37th, and then go up either 37th or 36th to get to Maple Street and into Adams Park.
Towards Adams.
Okay. Yeah, and so we have looked at other ways to make that connection. That isn't certain right now. That is kind of a stretch goal for someone else in the future. But if we build the two-thirds of a mile or three-quarters of a mile at the south end and roughly the 1 mile at the north, the gap in the middle would seem like more of an opportunity to say, hey, look at this great feature we have here. Maybe this is a place where we could reinvest. There are some vacant lots at 40th and Lake that could become something else. And like Atlanta has done, if you demonstrate that this is an area where people want to be for recreation and a nice public green space, maybe that makes it a more attractive place for others to say, I would like to reinvest in 40th and Lake. And some of those opportunities could then say, and we'll finish this connection.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
One more thing. Eric, looks like a wonderful project, lots of people in favor of it. What is our financial obligation to this then?
We had done some rough conceptual numbers on this. It was, at the time, the corridor was, I'm sorry, can you leave that map up, please, Bill? We did investigate a concept that went all the way from Hamilton Street through 40th and Lake and all the way up to the Transit Center and covered the area that is currently a gap and has buildings on it. So the numbers at the time were based on acquiring, removing, and constructing there. More simply, kind of a general estimate of design and construction for something like this would be maybe $750,000 per mile. That's kind of a conservative estimate. This is something like a mile and a half of total trail length. So on the order of maybe $1.25 to $1.5 million would be the total investment, the expected investment for design and construction. And that would be something we would come to through an opinion of probable cost from the engineers. Again, the 10% conceptual estimate was higher, but it's because it included acquisition and removal of buildings in some of this area, which is no longer part of this project because that's not really strictly NRD trail construction type of operations. So we left out the piece in the middle by 40th and Lake that's most challenging. So the cost estimate at that time was, I think, $2.5 million maybe. But it has come down quite a bit because we are not doing the acquisition there and the building removal in the kind of the most challenging part of the project in the middle. These two pieces are what are essentially the easier parts to construct first. So expected cost for the total project design and construction is probably around $1.5 million.
That would be our obligation or a consortium of other enterprises would contribute to this?
We would plan to do that over the next probably two or maybe three fiscal years. This would be a project that the NRD would lead. So the interlocal specifies that the land bank has already sought funds and done the acquisition of the land, so we don't have any, we don't have cost there. We would do the design and construction, and then the city would take over the operations and maintenance, and they would decide what to do with the excess parcels on the excess portion of the parcels adjacent to the trail.
So the city of Omaha is contributing no money toward the construction of this project?
That is correct. Almost all of our trail projects that we lead the construction on end up being turned over to the local jurisdiction for operations and maintenance. The structure of the NRD relative to the structure of the cities means that we are good at contracting and completing the design and construction portion, but we do not do the ongoing operations and maintenance. So if there is cracked pavement or just today there was a trash issue on one of the trails, we refer that back to the city. So they take over the kind of long-term responsibility. And that's how most of the 130 or so miles of trail in the metro area have been constructed in the past, and that's kind of the agreement we're proposing here, is that we are good at the design and construction. but we don't have staff who would be good at doing the operations and maintenance.
Was the city of Omaha approached about this as far as an interlocal agreement with them sharing the cost of this? It seems like it would be in their direct interest to have this completed also.
So this we have talked with them over over the last year or two about the concept here, and the agreement that we thought would lead to the completion of this project was those responsibilities, the land bank doing the acquisition. We would do design and construction, and the city would take over the ongoing costs.
But contribute no money toward the construction.
That's correct. Because, again, they are doing other projects that they have budgeted for their current design and construction.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Taser?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Sabinski?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item number 13, review and recommendation on amendment to trail over Platte River Bridge agreement with LPS, NRB, and NGPC.
So the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission is the first abbreviation. Lower Platte South NRD is the second abbreviation there in the title of this item. During the flood, a significant amount of debris piled up on the Lead Bridge, which is a former railroad bridge across the Platte River. And Bill, if you hit the next page, I believe you'll get a photo. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the existing, I'm sorry. There is an existing agreement between all three of these agencies for the original design and construction of the Lead Bridge and connecting trail, and then the ongoing operations and maintenance. And so very similar to what we just described, the Papio and the Lower Platte South NRDs helped in the original design and construction of both the bridge, the trail across the Lead Bridge on the Platte River, and about a half-mile connecting trail on each end to get to a parking lot. And then the Game and Parks Commission has been doing the ongoing operations and maintenance. The flood in March is well outside of the scope of normal operations and maintenance, and so we are now looking to come up with terms to define how the three agencies will partner to remove the debris that accumulated on the bridge, do the structural inspection of the bridge, and then carry out any repairs that are necessary to the Lead Bridge itself. So the next page is the existing agreement is about 25 pages long. It specifies the original construction as well as the operations and maintenance to be carried out by Game and Parks. If you try maybe page 27, maybe one more. Okay, so this is a map showing the area. Just kind of a reminder, this is the Lead Bridge. And this map is pulled from the aerial photography that we had done after the flood. So you can see a significant amount of sand that has piled up on the west bank. That is quite a bit different than this looked just 1 month before. And you can also see sand which has completely overwhelmed the trail on the east side. So that is a separate reconstruction project that we're working on, but this interlocal specifies just the bridge itself. If you go to the next slide. This is what it looked like during the flood. Marlin took this photo on March 17th, I believe. And you can see that the railing on the upstream side or the right side of the photo was crushed and flattened by very large trees floating down the Platte River, striking the bridge, the piers of the bridge, and the railing. And so if you go to the next photo, this is what looking across the upstream side of the bridge looks like. You can see very large amounts of debris piled up on all of the piers of the bridge and were tangled in the fence for a few hundred feet of the fence itself. Removing debris from a bridge like this is quite a challenging and relatively expensive thing to do. So the terms of this interlocal for the three parties are that we would remove the debris from the bridge. We would then do a structural inspection on the piers of the bridge itself and the icebreaker nose cones, which help to keep the structure protected during normal winter ice in the Platte River. And then we would carry out any structural repair necessary to the bridge. And if you go to the next page, Bill. This is an amendment to the original agreement. And so one more page. Yeah, so this becomes Exhibit G to the original agreement, which is for the flood remedial efforts, basically to correct this. And this page right here specifies the terms that the Papio would seek federal funding for the reimbursement of the bridge debris removal. We are, between the three agencies, we agreed to apply for the FEMA reimbursement necessary for this project and carry this out on behalf of the three agencies together. Half of the remaining, I'm sorry, all of the non-federally reimbursed portion of the debris removal would be paid by the Game and Parks Commission. We expect that 75% of the debris removal costs will be paid by FEMA, so the remaining 25% is expected to come from the Game and Parks Commission. We will know more about the specific reimbursement after we submit the FEMA documentation, but we have submitted the preliminary reports, and so we expect that it'll be 75% paid by FEMA. The second piece specifies the bridge repair, and in that portion, we would carry out the inspection, we would carry out the design and the construct and the contracting for the repair work, and then we would split the local share of the cost 50-50 with Lower Platte South. Again, 75% of the total cost for the evaluation, the design, and the repair work on the bridge is expected to come from FEMA, 25% from the local parties. That would be 12.5% Papio, 12.5% Lower Platte South, to carry out any repair work that's necessary. So that's the kind of short version of the summary of how we've described the breakdown of responsibility to get the lead bridge back open and available for public use. So we recommend that, or we ask that you recommend this to the board for approval to carry out this project to repair the lead bridge.
We can have a motion.
So moved.
A motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Directors? Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kaczynski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Aye. Item number 14, review and recommendation of the FY 2020 long-range implementation plan.
Thank you. Last one. This is the annual update to the long-range implementation plan, which is a required planning document per state statute. So each year we update with the current year budget numbers and then project forward 5 years of expected expenses and staff needs and land rights needs. And so the document has been updated to reflect the work that's currently going on. There is a written description of a lot of programs and projects that are carried out by the NRD on kind of a regular basis. So those are summarized in here, as well as an update to the organizational chart for staff at the NRD this year, updated for the directors, not very many other written updates in the document itself. The end of the document is a series of tables that summarizes the financials. And so, Bill, if you try page 40, maybe 40, let's see what that gets us. Okay, can you go back a few, maybe four pages? I'm sorry. There you go. So table one is the land rights, the expected cost for land rights acquisition in 2020, and it reflects projects that we see moving forward. These numbers are taken from the current year budget. If you go to the next page, please, Bill. This is personnel needs, reflecting what these are time in months of work that we expect to be carried out by NRD staff. And so it reflects the amount of time that we expect staff to be spending on each of the programs and projects that are listed in the table or in the column on the left side there. And there's nothing particularly different here from previous years. Bill, if you go to the next one, please. We have one more page. Table three is a breakdown of the costs in the current budget. In these five categories, and so the total on the right reflects basically the entire expenditure for each of these programs and projects. There are a few numbers in this year's LRIP which would look different than previous years, so I wanted to go ahead and highlight those. You can see some of the larger expenditures. Line number 10 is the Missouri River Levy Certification. These numbers, again, taken from the budget itself, but the total expenditure listed in the budget is $23.59 million. So that's reflected here. That's a little different than a little larger number than we've seen previously for expenditures on that project. If you scroll down to the next page, please, Bill. All the way to the bottom of this table, please. Under the last line, general administration, column number two is operating costs, and that cell says $48 million. Yes, that is outside of the normal budget numbers. This reflects that we are refinancing bonds this year,
And so there is, in the current FY 2020 budget, which was just approved, there's a $35 million line item, an expenditure and revenue for bonds. They cancel each other out, but they then push the total budget number and the bottom line LRIP numbers up significantly because those two items are now reflected, which is slightly different than how they've been accounted previously. So that item right there for general admin usually covers things which are not specified in any of the other specific program or project costs for the district, but this year also that line item reflects $35 million worth of expenditure on bond refinancing. There is a similar revenue reflected in Table 5 to match that expected expenditure. Bill, if we go to the next table, please. This is Table 4. So the first column here, 2020, is the same as the sum from Table 3, meaning all of the expenditures in the current budget year. And then it projects forward expenditures over the next 5 years. So in this one, on line item number 4, Papillion Creek and Tributaries Project, this shows in 2022 and 2023 increased expenditure on future projects. And so this is kind of where our priority projects expenditures are listed now, and those numbers jump up a little bit in 2022 and 2023. That is based also on bond funding, but that is the new bond authorization reflected here as an expenditure, which is separate from the current bond refinancing, which is the other major unusual factor in this document. So this line 4 reflects the new bond expenditure in 2022 and 2023. Bill, if you skip to the next page, please. I'm sorry, one more page, please. Here, as I mentioned before, the general admin line, $52 million reflects that increase of the bond refinancing. So the number here looks much larger than the projected future years or than it had in previous projections. If you go to Table 5 now. The top line is the cash on hand that we expect due to some of the financing for the Missouri River levee project that Paul's working on. The 2020 cash on hand number is a little bit high based on some of the carryover of the funding that was available for that project. That also shows a revenue for the direct state appropriation for that project, which is, again, reflected in the current budget. So everything in 2020 is taken directly from the current budget. Go to the next page, please, Bill. In the watershed funds, what we show is GO bonds 2022 with an expected issuance of $15 million in bonds in 2022. So that's reflected as revenue in the 2022 portion of the table. And then, Bill, if you skip down to the last page. Again, that large item for the... little bit more, please. There you go. Other projects, small district projects, covers things that are not specifically line item somewhere else. And in this case, small district projects also happens to include $35 million of revenue for bond refinancing. So we're not spending $37 million on other unaccounted projects. That is just the box which contains the bond refinancing revenue as reflected in the current budget. So between the current bond refinancing and the expected future bond issue in 2022, those two items have kind of outsized impact on the total expected revenue and expenditure. Outside of that, the existing Missouri River levee certification project is kind of the most noticeable project, as well as the ongoing priority projects in the Papio Creek Watershed program. If you have specific questions about anything else...
First, we'll have a motion.
I'm sorry.
Move the staff recommendation.
Second it.
Motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item?
Sean Malott, 10404 North 132nd Street. On the table 4, on page 41, line 4, when Eric mentioned the Papillion Creek tributaries projects, I'd like to get a detail of the breakdown of where those numbers are coming from and what projects they're going to. And here's my written request.
Sure.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Great. We'll get that to you.
Anyone else from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Roll call.
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Hi. Thank you, Eric. Item number 15.
You go sit down.
I think it was it. Review and recommendation of probable violation of district's erosion and sediment control rules and regulations. Justin Novak and Brent Meyer.
Save the best for last. Okay. So one of the big things the district does is we have, per state statute, we have our erosion and sediment rules and regulations that we have to abide by. So with a lot of farm ground, especially this year in particular, we get a lot of erosion issues, and it's something that we deal with on a daily basis through doing terrace and conservation, all kinds of different conservation practices as well. I met with Mr. Erickson here, it was about the end of June originally when he filed or contacted the district about some erosion issues he's been having. And basically, I advised him on, what the formal processes are for the NRD, and he has filed a formal complaint with the NRD here, and we did a field review on September 5th with myself, Terry Schumacher, Andy Bonenkamp, and Ryan Johnson from the NRCS. And upon inspection, if you scroll down to a couple of the pictures down below, you'll see there was evidence of erosion. We'll start with the location. Let's go back up to the top, Bill, sorry. Kind of give you an idea of where this is at. Rotate that to the right, please. So if you guys are familiar with the Blair Airport is, about halfway between Blair and Omaha off Highway 133, which, how does this thing work? A little red, there we go. So right here, this field, which is right across, here's the Blair Airport, Highway 133 going up to Blair. This field in particular is what we're going to discuss tonight. So if you want to go to the next picture, this is just to kind of give you an idea of, here's Mr. Erickson's home back in 2012, which I don't think he lived there at the current time. If you roll down that picture just a little, you'll see this ditch right here. And what I'm going to show you with these pictures is, this is something, off Google Earth that we've seen probably year after year. Go to the next picture. It's going to kind of show you the same thing. Roll it down a little. You can see that ditch is redeveloped right in here as well. It's a little more difficult to see in this picture. And go to the next one. Here is 2018, which actually kind of shows more of an updated of how everything is laid out. You can see where this ditch is kind of just redeveloped year after year. So what has happened is as we get rainfall, obviously we get erosion that kind of runs off his field, comes down through the trees, and runs right on the back side of the property here. This is his pool deck area. And this is his outbuilding. And as we go to the next pictures, you'll kind of see some of the sediment damage. You'll have to rotate that one to the left. So this would be looking back to the west towards, there's the field right there. So the ditch is actually right behind the trees here. But you can see a lot of the sediment damage he's incurred, which I believe this was roughly about the end of June.
Yes.
At this time. So this is just one instance. And talking with Mr. Erickson, it sounds like this has kind of been a reoccurring problem. If you want to go to the next, just kind of scroll through the pictures and I can give you a rundown through everything. This is his outbuilding that he constructed. All the water kind of runs right back through here. You can see a lot of the sediment that has deposited right along his building. Go to the next picture. Kind of the same thing. It's hard to see. So here's the drainage way. Comes around the back here. His outbuilding, here's the corner of his outbuilding, so you can see all the sediment damage that's been caused right there along the building. Just keep going through the pictures. Here's a nice, actually, aerial view that was done with the drone. So same thing. So here's the ditch, actually, the farm field's back here. The ditch runs right through here. You can see a lot of the sediment is deposited right here in the pool deck area and then runs around the outbuilding itself. And then you can see a little bit of that sediment damage there as well. I think it's pretty obvious to see. There is definitely some erosion concerns out there. we have
been working with the NRCS. So kind of the way the sediment erosion works, I don't know if you guys are familiar much of it, but once we receive the complaint, we send a notice of violation. So the notice of violation was sent to Mr. Cornwell. We did a field review with the other government agencies that are involved, and we have determined that obviously we feel that there is a violation out there. The NRCS has ran some of their soil loss criteria, and they actually measure the ephemeral gullies, and they come up with what is right here, the 6 tons per acre. So in an allowable conservation plan through our with our programs is 5 tons per acre per year. Currently, what we have seen out there based on their numbers is 6 tons per acre. So what that's saying is that he is outside of the district's allowable limit for soil loss. So you're allowed to have so much soil runoff per year, and he has exceeded that limit. So there's 4 decisions that the committee can make. Basically, option A is the district can determine there's no violation of the rules and regs has occurred. It can be dismissed by you guys. Option B is that the committee determines is a previous plan has been implemented by the district and he's abiding by that plan. We can dismiss that as well. Option C is basically a summarization is if it's not in crop ground, then obviously it's grounds for dismissal because we only do things that are relation to crop ground. We don't do things that are relation to development projects. Then option D is if the committee finds a probable violation of these rules or regulations has occurred, we shall proceed in accordance with Rule 12. And what Rule 12 is a development of a conservation plan to meet his soil loss criteria. He has existing terraces out there that will probably need to be rebuilt. I would imagine, speaking with the NRCS, there will be some additional conservation measures such as waterways or sediment basins, things that I would say are fairly typical of a farm operation. So, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, just to add a little color about what the recommendation is to the committee today is a determination of probable violation. It's not a determination of final violations in the rules and regulations. So in the giant process under our rules and regulations, if there's a determination of a probable violation, the alleged violator gets notification of the probable violation, and they have options to either work out a plan or say, I want to dispute this further, and then we move forward to a more formal hearing in front of the board. But we're not at that stage right now. The probable violation is just the next step in the rules and regulations to get that plan teed up.
Correct.
So you want to get the recommendation.
So the management recommends, the subcommittee recommends to the board that district find Mr. Cornwell to be in probable violation of the district's erosion and sediment rules and regulations.
Okay. We have a motion. Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item?
I'm John Erickson. My wife and I own the property in question and in the pictures. The situation, obviously, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't real and current. It's ongoing. Every time it rains, you just kind of cringe a little bit because there's more soil coming in on us. We know we have to handle the water and runoff. We knew that when we bought the property. We recognize the drainage way on our side. We see where the water was coming from. I didn't see the ditch in the field, but obviously there was a ditch or a drainage that fed that discharge. And I knew the water was coming. I'm not disputing that, nor do I intend that anything needs to be done about water. When I built the outbuilding, it was graded to accommodate drainage of the water, and it worked. To the point of when we started to receive silts, it rendered that measure that I had implemented, the swale and kind of a trench system, it rendered it useless. You can see in that aerial picture that it looks like I don't know if you can get back to that aerial. There's probably a term for that, alluvial plain maybe, I don't know, alluvial fan. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That has changed the course of the water runoff since it's silted in, and it's pushing water towards our pool equipment that was in one of these pictures, and it's an every time we have a rain event, it gets closer and closer to the pool itself. So the issue is real and such. But tons per acre, I understand what Justin is saying and what the rules are. Justin, how many acres is that field? Do you
just under 20.
Just under 20. So if the limit is
five tons per acre.
Yeah, there's 100 tons that could be happening. So in a year. But nonetheless, the situation is what it is, and I think it's fairly well represented in the pictures. The runoff is fairly heavy. You saw one of the pictures showed cobbles that have washed out of the drainage way, somewhat of a riprap situation that maybe the previous owner did, or maybe Mr. Cornwell did. I don't know who put the riprap there, but it actually moves those boulders, of which are about this diameter, some of them, rolls them out into the yard, and I can't mow them, of course. I guess I have a question, and that would be, what's the timeline? What is the timeline if Mr. Cromwell is in probable violation?
Justin, please.
So the timeline would be, obviously, we got to wait until crops come out. Things have to be harvested. Depending on how the fall construction period kind of works, it would either be this fall or this spring, but the requirement from us would be to get it before planting of next season. So whether we get it built this fall or this spring, it just kind of depends on how things work out, how fast we can kind of move this process forward. So that really is going to, but I would say by next spring, things will be completed.
Okay, so here's what I understand. That there are current terraces in the field, and I think what I heard in recommendation that the terraces would be rebuilt as they are currently rendered useless. They've met their time.
Listen, you want to come back? You want to come back up?
They're wore out, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Easy words. Rebuild terraces, grass waterway, and silt pond. Three items.
So all those things would be proposed in a conservation plan by the NRCS. So the NRCS is kind of the administrator on that side. We're kind of the middleman on really a lot of it. So they're the ones that determine the soil loss criteria, what practices will get them met within their conservation plan, and what would be suitable to and agreeable to Mr. Cornwell. So ultimately, Mr. Cornwell has to agree to all this. And he can choose, you know, which way he would like to go. But, yeah, that ultimately the NRCS is our technical agency that makes all those decisions. We're just kind of the financer. We provide the cost share. We kind of are the director of the program, but we help to get those in.
Does the NRCS do the design?
Yes.
They understand the flow and...
Yep. Yeah, everything that's done, they have actually computer programs that are specifically designed for those terraces. It's something I'm actually very familiar with because we do that day in and day out. But, yeah, they have programs that are specific for soil loss, construction of the terraces, and all, I mean, a whole wide array of things. So they're basically our lead technical partner on this.
Cromwell, have you finished? We have someone else who wants to testify.
I'm Mr. Erickson.
I'm sorry. Are you not the violin?
I have finished, yes.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Was it a problem last year? How long have you lived there?
We've lived there 2 years.
Was this a problem last year?
The silt was not a problem last year. The silt was a problem this year. Built the outbuilding last year, and that's when we graded to accommodate the flow. We didn't change where the location of the discharge was off of our property. I mean, we maintained that. We just rechanneled it around the building.
Heavy rain, is the water coming over your retaining?
Yes. And it didn't before.
That to the increase in the amount?
Yes, sir. I do. I attribute it to that. If I was to... I haven't moved the silt up there as there's so much of it, I can't move it all. But I will tell you there's 8 to 10 inches of silt in my graded waterway that redirects the water now, and it goes over my retaining wall now, whereas I had it graded before where it would not.
Any other questions, Mr. Erickson? I think someone else wants to testify.
Question. Has anybody talked to Mr. Cromwell?
I have.
Has there been any plans on how to fix this or address it, or is he just not looking at it, or where are we at?
No. I called Mr. Cromwell to if he would come over and see what was happening to our property, and he did. He came immediately. He was there immediately. And we looked at it and talked about it. No resolution was...
But he's agreeable to that something needs to be done.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say that we talked about it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify? You need to come up to the... If you, I thought this gentleman here wanted to testify. Okay.
My name is my name is Todd Cornwell, and I did go over the day that it rained on May or June, as Mr. Erickson said, and so I got a. Who puts these up? You got a picture? This picture?
That don't show the whole field, and it is 19 acres. And there were three terraces that were laid out by the NRD 10 years ago, roughly, plus or minus. I've farmed this 19 acres 40 years. I owned it for about 15. And it's interesting to know that that building that they're talking about isn't even on this picture yet. It's a new building from 2018, right? Okay. And this shows it. They don't really show it on there. But right here is a tile outlet. Another tile outlet. These terraces are designed by the NRD to, you know, take the water and all that. And they come out right down here, right here. You can see that it does. Okay. Mr. Erickson took the liberty of building this building right where the terrace water comes out.
So it wasn't, I mean, it was just a new building last year. My question, you know, who in the heck designed the, it's 10 feet in the property, and he's bound to have trouble when the water.
Where you say it is right here. That bulb there.
I think so. I think that's right, right there. Yeah.
Because that goes. Yes.
Can he show? Can
this? Is a, well, it's someplace here, right into the building. Yeah.
But this is where the
right.
Huh?
And there's another one above it.
Do we have a map of that so everybody can see it?
Bring this one up. That one up. That's 2018. It's just before. There you go. Back up one.
That's it right there.
And what he's telling you, I believe this is in right here. And then there's another one here.
Yeah.
Goes this way.
So the biggest thing is it's a terrace runoff that is designed to handle the water.
Is that the totality of your comments, or you got other comments to make?
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't even know about the meeting today till last Friday, so I kind of short notice. There's a total picture, I think, that I have been following the conservation plan that was set up. And I guess that's it.
Okay. Anyone else wish to testify on this item? You can have a motion.
I have one.
Okay. All right. Does the board have any questions?
Just by looking, my guess is whenever the terraces were done, there was no house there. It was probably just a field. Is my
it's a natural.
When was the house
right built? Where they put the terrace tile on that?
When did they build the house, though?
What year was the house built?
2001.
Okay. That was after the terraces.
Oh, built. Yeah.
Okay. Well, obviously there's an issue and there probably isn't a very easy solution. We just gotta get to the middle of it. But might be something as simple as doing a little bit of re-terracing, retiling, and I would go probably down somewhere halfway down and get your natural curve. And I can't tell like your topographical how that lays, but you'll have to find another lower spot to rechannel and take the drain tile. You know, it's done every day. So obviously, it's been a wet year. So obviously, it's probably not been a real big problem till now. But it is a problem. So I think there's a solution.
Directors, have any other comments on that?
Justin. The evolution of the development, the terraces when they were built 20 years ago or whatever, terraces have some kind of life.
10-year life expectancy.
10-year life, so yep. This may have reached its 10-year life.
In my opinion, it has.
In the terrace world, time to revisit. Obviously, the property that has been developed, whether it be one house or 10, on other terraces around our district, it's common practice to look and review and reshift and all that stuff. So it's not an unusual situation.
No, it's not.
And it's curable.
But correct. Yeah, very, very curable. I will say Todd has been a good conservationist. He does a lot of work on all his farms. This is just a formal process the board has to go through. So I think we can come up with a resolution that works for all parties. I do believe
and that's in the next few months when NRCS is A, B, C, or D. Let's do it this way.
Yep. So, yeah, basically we go to the drawing board as far as coming up with a good conservation plan for him, the NRCS. And then we get that approved by Todd, and then we move forward with construction of whatever the practice is. Todd Cornwell. This is Mr. Cornwell.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. I use first names.
You mentioned zoning board. So Washington County has a role in this?
Not with the planning and zoning. So that was just one of the options on C, is if it's non-agriculture related, that goes to the Zoning and Planning Commission to deal with.
Erickson, whether it's agriculture or not, maybe it was at one time, but now it isn't.
Yep.
It's kind of a new facet of the... Yep.
Our program only deals with farm ground, with agriculture.
Yeah, on this
ground.
Side.
Yep.
The property line.
Yep.
Okay, and thank you for doing what you did. I mean, you got to protect your property, what you did, and so on. But it's curable, and it's time to revisit.
Director Grunewald, you got a question?
Yeah. What are we talking dollars and cents here? And who bears the brunt of it?
The NRD will pay. So the NRD has a cost share program of what they call 75%. It's an average cost. So we would actually provide 75% of the average cost, which, depending on the practices, have different rates. So terraces have a different rate, waterways have a different rate, basins have different rates. But I would say the NRD has a very generous cost share program for the farmers in our area. And they, in Washington County in particular, they really have taken advantage of it. We have about 60 terrace jobs to do this fall. I don't know how we're going to move all done, but we have that many to do. So,
so basically you're going to come up with a plan where we would possibly share, cover 75% of whatever the plan is.
Yes.
And you still got to, do you have a ballpark figure on that?
If I had to guess, there's probably 2,500 feet of terrace to rebuild. So you're looking at about $2 a foot for that. So you're looking at about $5,000 in the terrace rebuild. The pipeline's the underground outlet's probably still good. So that's usually your major cost. A waterway or basin will probably run you in that $2,500 to $5,000 range.
Now, where it comes out down there, would you be trying to redirect that down?
We always follow the natural course of the water, because we can't change watersheds. Just like John said, he expects to deal with the water. And the nice thing with terraces, they actually allow time. We create storage terraces so it holds the water back and allows time for the sediment to settle out, and then that water goes through the pipe. So that is one of the great benefits to having terraces with pipe. It just allows that sediment to settle down below. Obviously, we have some issues down below the terraces with concentrated flow, and that's what we need to address, along with the reconstruction of doing the terraces, what I speculate for the NRCS is going to require.
So you're possibly on the, Mr. Cromwell, you're possibly on the line for 25% of the cost of what this would be?
When they say that, he's a little wrong on that.
Average
75%
cost.
Of the average cost.
Right.
And I can guarantee you there's not a contractor working in the county that goes by 75% cost share. I don't do this every day.
Which is why I like
my water.
That's why I like to use per foot cost. This is how much you pay.
When you get done, it's nearer 50%. And they don't do anything with any of the trees, and there's trees involved in that down there.
Okay.
And the property line.
Are the trees considered? They're not considered ag, right?
Be careful.
The property line is way back here on the tree line. It ain't way down here. It's way back here.
Okay. So if I'm looking at this picture here.
Well, I think we got a picture on the board. Whatever we're going to be discussing, why don't we put it up so everybody can see
this
it?
This one here. What you're telling me is your property line is literally right here,
mm-hmm.
Right next to it.
And that's right where the terrace
comes
the
down.
Tile comes out.
I think that's
the tile comes out
right
there.
Right there, yeah.
Well, I don't think it's our job to settle this. NRCS is going to put a plan together.
Yes.
I think that's what we've been told.
Good information.
So nothing here will resolve that issue.
Okay.
So. Do the directors have any other questions?
I had one small question. The six tons per acre, that is established by whom again? So the NRCS has all kinds of soil calculation tools that they use, and it's based upon soil types, slope, conservation practices, tillage practices. I mean, it's a whole wide array of things.
In your opinion, it's accurate?
Yes.
Very accurate. And it's above. And the 5 ton per acre, is that set by the NRD or NRCS, or is that a state statute?
That's state statute.
State statute says it can't be above 5 tons per acre?
Correct.
We, in your opinion, we have a very accurate 6 tons per acre?
To best of my knowledge, yes.
My question is, how would they determine that?
I couldn't tell you.
Ask them how they determine.
Well, he said he can't determine that. I think
the NRCS would have to tell you that.
Public involvement in this. Thank you. We're through with public involvement, unless there's a question directly.
You know, I didn't hear very good. What?
I said we're through with the public involvement in this issue, on this issue. Okay. We're getting ready to take a vote.
Okay.
Good. Are there any other questions of Justin while he's up?
I just want to say I have great empathy and sympathy for both sides in this. I'm kind of stuck in the middle on this one, too. I understand. I think we're dealing with a state law, is what we're, and it's a hard and fast one, and I don't know how you get around that, Mr. Cornwell. I just don't think we can.
What do you think the time frame here is for this?
As far as the board process?
Yeah, until you figure out, okay, you're going to get somebody to take a look at it,
yep,
versus what they say needs to be done versus when it can be started. What's the time frame?
I think that things can happen very quickly with the NRCS. I would anticipate we could have a resolution by the end of next week as far as what he would require. Yeah, I mean, very quickly.
Something can be done by spring.
Oh, yes.
So we don't hit the same rain and the same.
No.
Okay.
No, my goal would be to get it done in the fall or spring at the latest. It just depends. If it keeps raining, we're never going to get anything done.
Just a quick question for, so if this water keeps running off, does Mr. Erickson have potential that that wall is going to collapse, your retaining wall there, mm-hmm, where that sill's going over and around it? And is that compounded more for us if that happens? Okay.
Civil matter between
okay.
the two.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, basically, from my understanding, and I don't know, Brent, you can, where our authority stops.
Yeah, we can only work within the rules.
But your best guess right now is terracing will get the job done.
I couldn't say for sure. I mean, if I had to guess, it's going to take a little bit more than that. Yeah.
Any other questions from directors? Roll call.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yeah.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Hi. I think that's it. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.